Tom.
Clean up this mess to bring real accountability to the Veterans Administration. And soon the House will act to do just that.
For the 300,000 plus people that work at VA every day, they do their job for the right reason. But the problem that we've been having with the Department of Veterans Affairs as of late is there's no transparency and there's no accountability.
Ah, no accountability. And boy, does that seem to ring true. And could we leave our people who have done so much to serve our nation in the kind of situations that they find themselves in, where they're waiting and waiting and waiting to get any kind of treatment in many, many cases? Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's just a snapshot of what we're talking about in this hour of America Tonight. I mean, it is. You got to remember, you've got to honor the people who serve, and they should have the best kind of care and access to it that's possible. This is being questioned somewhat with the Fort Hood gunman who, Ivan Lopez, who was actually a father of four, had just moved to Fort Hood, killed three fellow soldiers, injured 16 others on our biggest facility in the United States, military facility, and in the world, by the way. And we're stuck with that nagging question, why? Okay, so here's what we now know. He was not classified as PTSD. He did not see combat action. He came back and said he had a traumatic brain injury. He was complaining about that. They put him on Ambien because he said he had trouble sleeping and he was depressed. His mother had a heart attack and died in November in Puerto Rico. He was given only 24 hours bereavement to get back there, go, and come back and turn around, and apparently was steamed about that. But what was it? Was that what pushed him to the edge to say, forget it, I'm gonna just take other people out? And one of the victims actually tried to calm Lopez down, tried to prevent that from happening, and oh, how sad is that? It's the personal stories when you read them that really just get you in the gut, I'm telling you. It's not the statistic when I tell you, hey, three people were killed, 16 other people were injured, some of them so severely they've had multiple operations and they're now in serious condition and seem to be out of the woods, but this is going to be a lifetime thing that they're battling. So Timothy Owens was a counselor at Fort Hood. He tried to calm down Lopez. He tried to get him to stop. And as a result, he was killed in the crossfire. He tried to talk with him. And he was definitely one of those three. And people who know him say they're not surprised that he was there, that he was trying to make Lopez stop doing what he was doing, and he didn't have any success, and he lost his life as a result of that. Shot five times he was unloaded on, and he was one of those three that were killed. My, oh, my. A family man shoots down another family man. Rough. Rough for the families, rough for the base bouncing back after all of this, and a lot of us questioning maybe it's time to bring back arms so that if you're on the base, you don't have to be defenseless, You think of what you ask somebody to do. Okay, you're part of our voluntary military. You're going over sometimes for multiple deployments to finish up in Afghanistan. You're on the front lines in many cases where we're not really sure what can happen, meaning, yeah, we look for the IEDs, but sometimes they crop up on us. The rules of engagement, in my opinion, are more than a little twisted. And you get back. You're safe. You're almost there. You've done your duty. You're feeling good about it. And then this happens. It's a terrible, terrible narrative. It needs to go away. There is no 100%. But we got to get closer than this. There have been other base shootings. At Fort Hood, 2009, of course, Major Nadal Hassan, who is now on death row for killing way too many people, 13, and injuring almost 60, some now paralyzed. And here this happens again, different motivations perhaps, but shaky stuff on the base that had to go into lockdown from 4 o'clock in the afternoon to 9. More pictures emerging about this Ivan Lopez, but no specific notes, nobody saying that he was going to do that. Hints about Facebook, leaving notes about the devil, but not a definitive answer as to why. Just some theories that are being bounced around. After this, the question is, let's clear this up. Should soldiers carry arms on stateside posts? Yes. Gun restrictions on military bases have to come to an end. It's an experiment that is not working. How do you leave people on a base to be that exposed and to be defenseless? How can you compete against someone who's firing off round after round very close to you? They decided to increase restrictions after the first massacre at Fort Hood. That was the response. And now they're going to keep doing the same thing. The people in the military, we want them to serve. We want them to protect us. And yet, we don't allow them to protect themselves on a base. Let's hope they turn this around. They need to be able to carry personal firearms on the installations. Look at the Navy Yard shooting last year. They don't allow soldiers to be armed or carry guns on post except for security people and any kind of law enforcement. And that's too bad, because I think it would have absolutely made a difference in this shooting at Fort Hood. So let's hope the push will continue by people like Congressman Steve Stockman, who's been pushing for this ever since the whole Navy Yard thing. Coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the fallout that you might not realize when it comes to Obamacare and a mandate that's now in the hands of the Supreme Court. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. MBROWER at GCNLive.com. That's MBROWER at GCNLive.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
A lot about what's happened now with Obamacare, and specifically the nugget that was discussed with the Supreme Court. If you remember the whole thing with Sebelius versus Hobby Lobby, basically at least one of those cases, we're waiting to hear what that decision's going to be. Probably by the Supreme Court, it will know in maybe June is what I'm thinking. In the wings right now, Amy Ridenour is with us, and Amy has an interesting story that she's going to tell us about. She's a chairman of the National Center for Public Policy Research. And Amy, you can't believe, I mean, I guess you can. I couldn't even get to my mailbox. It was so stuffed with opinions, and so many people have been calling about all different aspects, of course, of Obamacare, but especially the HHS mandate. And you found a real nugget that none of us, I think, really flushed out. Tell the listeners and all the nooks and crannies out there in America what you uncovered when you were going through this.
Well, I'd be glad to do that, Kate. And basically what it is that the administration's official reason for the HHS contraception mandate isn't what they've been saying that it is. Now, I'm sure everyone will remember that when this issue first started getting really hot, the White House had a speech by the president who came out, and he said they'd have equivocations here or there for people with conscience. And it was all, you know, not serious, but he was trying to spin. And in that speech, he said that the purpose of the mandate was to help poor folks afford birth control. And he specifically said that half of all women under 35 have struggled, and the word struggled is his verb, to afford birth control. Now, I don't believe that figure for a minute, but that's what he said. So he's telling the American people that the purpose of the mandate is to help lower-income women afford birth control. Well, last week, in light of the Supreme Court oral arguments and some things I was wondering about when I was seeing what some of the liberals were complaining about that incident, I started reading the Federal Register, regulation is where federal government publishes regulations. And it's the things that are written by lawyers, and it's all very official. It's not like an op-ed in the Chicago Tribune. I mean, this is like real stuff. And what it said was not that the purpose of the mandate is to help lower-income people, but to, quote-unquote, improve the economic and social position of women relative to the economic and social position of men. So I looked at that and I thought, what? That's not what they've been saying. So I kept reading. And by the time I finished, I had found four places where they said that the purpose of the mandate is to make women and men closer economically, because they see women as being inferior to men economically, and for women to get more promotions and so forth relative to men. I found zero places where they said the purpose of the mandate was to help lower-income women afford birth control. So I think we can take it for granted that since this is the official legal document, that the purpose of the HH mandate is actually about giving women more money relative to men.
Wow. So turning that around, turning that equation around is interesting, because that really, I think, would affect the decision, I believe, with SCOTUS if they were digging into that, because this is about gender equity then. It's not about what so many of us originally were pursuing down the road of what was being fed to us, I guess. And even, as you said, as you were digging and you found that out. So then my question becomes, did it just suit the administration's purpose much better to just throw that out there? Hey, let everybody run with that, because this isn't going to go down. This isn't going to be swallowed quite as easily as the other form of what we're saying, that women should be covered, their birth control should be covered, and poor women should be able to get coverage as well, and middle-class women and all of that, and just the employer should be able to provide that. Do you think that was kind of the idea?
Yes, I do. I do think that, in a political sense, helping poor people always sells better than we've decided to be really radical feminists, and we see the family as an oppressive institution that's, you know, inherently patriarchal. You know, that really wouldn't have worked for Obama in a presidential election year. But, you know, feel sorry for these poor women. They need some help with their birth control. While still not particularly popular, we at least had some chance of being accepted by the American people.
Yeah, and we should say, too, as you talked about this, you poured over the Federal Register and you explained that and explained how that information came to light, how you found it. And there's some other things I think that would be interesting to people that you also dug out of the mandate, some other details. What were some of the big, I guess, more interesting quotes that you came across when you were going through it?
Well, in terms of quotations, I'll just read a few of them. They specifically say that having an elimination of birth control co-pays, and keep in mind now the mandate pays for birth control for women but not for men, so they want women's birth control paid for without a co-pay. Men's birth control, like condoms or vasectomy, is not paid for at all, so you don't have co-pays because insurance isn't paying anything. But they'll say that eliminating even a $10 copay for a female is, quote, particularly critical to addressing the gender disparity of concern here, unquote. Another part they speak of when they're speaking of the purpose of the mandate, they say, quote, gender equity interests, unquote, are, quote, compelling, unquote. Now, gender equity, you know, most people, if they're using birth control, they're not thinking, gee, this is my gender equity control. No, they're thinking it's birth control. But these guys, they're doing their little social reorganization, and they're trying, I mean, there's a number of things they're trying here. They are being unfair to men in the sense that men don't get the same coverage, but they are also being unfair and stupid to women in that when men don't get vasectomy coverage and a couple wants, say, a sterilization procedure, who gets to get it? If one of them's covered and the other is not, the women are going to be having surgery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's interesting you say that, because I was thinking when you were talking about that, the condoms and vasectomies, well, wouldn't it be, I think, that far-fetched that if you wanted to flip this around, you could have a class action suit where men could get together and say, well, this is unfair, because why aren't we covered?
Well, you could potentially do that. I mean, it's very difficult to sue the federal government, of course.
Yeah.
And this is a regulation. And what we do see with the Hobby Lobby case and numerous other cases for the HHS mandate that are still percolating through from the nonprofits, that there are significant challenges to the constitutionality of this. Now, of course, those are made on a religious basis. But I would say to you that the reason some of these are being made on a religious basis is because the law is strong there. We do not have, alas, particularly strong law right now saying that the government has to be equally fair to the genders or to the races, for that matter.
Right, right.
I mean, it's the flip side of the affirmative action cases, where the people who want a colorblind society have won some ground in recent years, but we're still not there yet. So for, say, men to go to court and say, we want, you know, fairness here, honestly, I can't guarantee that they would win it. Down the road, though, it's possible we'll get Congress to pass a law. And I don't mean immediately. I mean, I can see down the road society getting to the point where Congress passes a law that says, to the extent possible, you can't have these kinds of biases. And then the court would take that seriously the way they are right now in the Riffer case.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think down the road you do see that. The SCOTUS opinion, what do you think it's going to be? As you said, the law is stronger on the grounds of religion and constitutionality, the challenges there in a that present itself there. What do you think happens?
I think it's 5-4. Hobby Lobby wins it. I wouldn't be shocked if Stephen Breyer went with a majority, but I would be very surprised if Hobby Lobby did not win.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think it's probably 5-4, but who knows? Because, you know, sometimes you get some wild surprises. You're never quite sure what's going to happen there. Of all the things, since you've been the chairman of the National Center for Public Policy, of all the things that you've written about and looked at, has this one just really boomeranged? Because I think when I say people listening in the nooks and crannies, this is boomeranged like nothing I've seen across the country. And, of course, it's our health that's being messed with in lots of different directions. Have you found the same thing?
Well, are you speaking of all of Obamacare?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's the biggest social legislation in a generation and potentially ever. And so that right there would win what you just asked me, hands down. But then the fact that it was badly conceived, it was passed by a 100% Democrat majority, that the public has never been for it, and then they have somehow managed to screw up every single implementation aspect of this, bar none. You think you'd get something like just by accident. But this is historic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is. There's no doubt about it. Amy, you were a delight. Very informative. And, of course, you've had op-eds all over the place. How many papers have they been in? Like 50 papers, something like that?
Well, on HHS, about 46.
Yeah. Good for you. All right. Amy Ridenour, chairman of the National Center for Public Policy. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, Kate.
Amy, have a good night.
You too, Kate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
They followed stars and drank in bars and ran their cars around Lambos as the posters whispered, think before you drink.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
David Letterman, Mr. Late Night, announcing he's going to retire in 2015. He's been a mainstay for three decades. He announced abruptly on Thursday he's going to retire from The Late Show. He certainly had a couple of features that we all remember and probably love about David Letterman. Even if you weren't a big fan of Letterman's, you know the top 10 lists and stupid human tricks and pet tricks. Initially, that was never used to be stupid pet tricks. So he's been on network television for 34 years. 34 years. How about that? And he's just shy of his 67th birthday. So now there's a lot of speculation as to who is going to step into the shoes. Will it be Conan O'Brien? Will it be Ellen DeGeneres? Stephen Colbert? Jon Stewart? Bill Maher? Chelsea Handler? Her name has come up. So this fuels the speculation that's going to be around for a while because he still has more talk left. Not stepping away until 2015, and it's pretty interesting the way he decided to make the announcement, and Letterman 3 decades. I remember as a kid sneaking to watch late night TV, and he was the guy that I watched. We move from Letterman to this horrific story. Cap and goggles belonging to a 63-year-old woman presumed to have been taken by a large shark while she was swimming off the coast of Australia have been found along with human remains. The search for Christine Armstrong was going strong Friday morning in New South Wales. She was swimming with a group of friends off of a beach when she complained and headed back to shore. So the rest of the group, including her husband, later saw a shark that was about 11 feet long swimming near them. So what you do when that happens is you bunch together. That's what they did. They swam back to the beach but didn't find any trace of her. Another witness on some rocks spotted a large shark attacking something in the water. They said about 150 yards offshore. They thought it was a swimmer. But the remains and the swim cap and goggles were found late Thursday. They're going to do some forensic testing, but it's not looking very good. So they closed the popular beach while they can assess if there are more sharks or that shark or whatever. And the community there is pretty much in shock. You know, there was, as a quick sidebar here, I can remember maybe 8 years ago, a bunch of swimmers in San Diego who were trailed, they were trailed by a shark, and the last person in the line, they would bunch together, and the last person in the line was the one that the shark got. They did get that guy, who was a doctor, to shore, but he just bled out. It was too much. In Australia, of course, they know the dangers there, but they certainly weren't expecting that to happen. All right, more numbers for We Can Count. Shocking CIA report is closer to being released. They're probably going to redact some of the stuff from it, to be sure. But this is a big deal. If you remember Dianne Feinstein, the senator from San Francisco, blowing a gasket over being spied on by the CIA. So the Senate Intelligence Committee voted Thursday for the release of key parts of the report. And here they're going to be talking about the waterboarding interrogation programs, all that were launched after 9/11. The final decision on declassifying the information rests with the White House, and they're pretty unclear as to how long a process of it would be. The vote, though, on the panel, 11-3 in a closed-door session to declassify 480 pages of the executive summary and 20 findings and conclusions of the five-year study. Feinstein called the report's findings shocking, saying it exposes brutality that stands in stark contrast to our values as a nation. So this is hardly put to bed, especially when there's the release of this, how much they're going to pull out. Who knows how long that it takes. We don't know at this point. You have to go back in your mind and remember that some of the people that would be heavily pounced on would include probably John Rizzo, who was acting general counsel at the CIA during the post 9/11 period, or at the Justice Department, rather, during the post 9/11 period. And he recently, ironically, published a book called Company Man, 30 Years of Controversy and Crisis. And he disputes the idea that he or any other official misled Congress. He said he wouldn't have told congressional investigators if they had asked for an interview. So now that's probably going to dispute some of that. We'll see. We'll see whether or not he gets pounced on for what the findings there are. And that goes back to that whole CIA thing. When Obama first took office, and a lot of this was discussed, and there was a big shakeup at the CIA where a lot of people wanted to bail because they felt like nobody had their back, even though legally, no matter what the debate was, it was covered off supposedly legally. And now this just brings all of that back up. And because Feinstein said that, I'm curious as to what's going to blow our socks off when we read it. How about this D.C. museum? It's nice to get donations, isn't it? And this is one of my favorite museums. If you ever get to D.C., do not miss the Air and Space Museum. They got a huge donation, so they'll be making some probably great changes. $30 million. It's the largest corporate donation ever, according to the museum. So Boeing is the ones that Boeing is the company that's dumping the money into that museum. It makes sense. And if you go there, you see, I mean, you just see unbelievable, unbelievable artifacts, pieces of history about flight, from planes to rockets and a lot of things in between that you get to crawl into a capsule and whatnot. And it is hands down in D.C. my favorite museum, so good that they're getting some of that money. I think it'll be cool for kids when they go there. They're going to make it even more interactive. Who says that dogs don't remember their owners? My brother would dispute that. He would say that, no, it's because you feed them and then they forget you. If they ended up somewhere else, they would love the people just as much because they would feed them. But there was a crazy story out of Philadelphia about a family that reunited with their lost dog, Wesley, after 17 months. That's a long time to be apart. They thought that perhaps he had died, that somebody had run over him, some other thing had happened to him. They had put signs up about Wesley's a four-year-old golden lab. He went missing before Superstorm Sandy, and after weeks of searching, the Cruz family just had to give up. They said they couldn't find the dog. And all of a sudden, a year and a half later, he was found several towns away, wandering through a neighborhood. Police checked him for a microchip that led him back to his original owners. And how stunning would that be to all of a sudden get the phone call? And they had kids that loved that dog, and to find that the dog now is back. And it, who knows, it was probably somebody was helping the dog, because they said the dog was like 25 pounds heavier, so somebody must have been feeding him, but they got the dog back, and I think that's pretty cool that they did, 17 months away. Wow. How about that? All right, moving on to something else. The interesting thing that I think when we talk about sports and we talk about what kids are doing is the popularity of skateboarding continues to grow and grow and grow. I thought it was just kind of a fad. And when I was growing up, there were people that would skateboard and there were some indoor parks. But now it's definitely not a fad. The largest covered outdoor skate park in the nation opens Friday. You know where it is? We got listeners in Washington, Eugene, Washington. In Eugene. So under the Washington Jefferson Bridge is where it's opening. How about that? It's very cool. This is radio. I've seen the pictures, and I think you could pretty much do just about anything. The community helped build it. They raised over $300,000 to get the park going, and they had a lot of people follow on Facebook. They say the park is also open to bikes and rollerblades, and people are pretty excited about that. And I would be, too. If you could see this park, it's pretty cool. And it makes sense, too, if you think about it. The Eugene, Oregon, by the way, not Washington. If you think of the weather sometimes in that area, it's great because since it's covered, they'll be able to use it a lot more. But the largest covered outdoor skating park. Very nice. And finally, we come to our last bit of numbers here. And this is a good one to end on, because we really had some strange mixes number-wise for this version of We Can Count. How about this teacher who found $11,000 cash on the road? So you find $11,000, be honest, what do you do with it? Well, the woman who found the cash, the teacher decided, of course, I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to give it away. So that's exactly what she did. Sherry Whitesides, fourth grade teacher in North Carolina, decided that some other people deserved it. So not being able to find whose it was, she donated the bills to different people who needed the money. I think that's pretty generous to do that. Good for her. Took her son out, gave money to people who needed it, said she felt really blessed. Nice.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
It wasn't surprising what the court did, this being the court that decided Citizens United, but it adds great insult to a terrible injury to our democracy.
One of the big stories from the past week that'll be talked about throughout the entire week, and I'm sure part of the Sunday swirl, that's the talking heads on the Sunday shows, Nancy Pelosi there, the congresswoman from California, talking about campaign finance. Democrats think it's now a done deal, a wrecked system, if you will, because of the fact that it's a little bit more wide open as far as contributions are concerned. We had a suggestion from our pal Jack from Down Under that if this is what the justices were going to decide, if they were going to lift the total campaign money limit and in their rule, then why not just make it so that you have transparency, and if you sponsor somebody, then they've got your name somewhere on their shirt or on one of the walls that they stand in front of. So if you're really, really wealthy and you want to give money to a lot of political campaigns, you can do that. The 5-4 ruling eliminated limits on how much money people can donate in total in one election season. The decision, though, did leave intact the current $5,200 limit on how much one person could give to a single candidate during a two-year cycle. But until now, an individual could give up to $123,200 per cycle. So now the ruling means, to break it down, because I had some questions on this, a wealthy liberal or conservative donor could give as much money as they wanted to federal election candidates across the country as long as they didn't get more than the cap, as long as no candidate got more than the cap. So most people don't make the large donations like that. It clears the way for more private money probably to get pumped into the system. Well, think of how expensive these campaigns are now. It's insane when you look at what's being spent. And there was an argument about campaign donations. Is it a form of free speech or not? Because the issue was whether there were limits in the Federal Election Campaign Act overall or aggregate campaign spending by people violated the First Amendment rights of contributors. And Justice Roberts, we talked about this heavily earlier in the week, wrote the opinion of the court's conservative majority saying they instead intrude without justification on a citizen's ability to exercise the most fundamental First Amendment activities. I'll tell you what, more than anything, I understand about the struggle over campaign finance. How about some term limits? How about slamming down some hardcore across-the-board term limits? You sit and you look and you see the same people that get cycled through again and again, and then you look at how often they're there for votes, and you got to question some of what's happening, and we have for a long time. I think there should be term limits. Without a doubt, I think that would there be more accountability that way, and I think it would make a huge difference if there was more accountability. This might be a shocker to some of you. I'm mixing this in here as part of odds and ends on the final circle around for this hour. NASA is ending most of the activities with Russia. You know, I thought about that the second this started with Putin and the Crimea and what was happening there with their referendum. I thought, how can we be hitching rides on the rockets if we're ending everything else to any space stations? So right now at this point, that's what's going on. They say they're going to halt the majority of what's happening, except for anything that's already ongoing. And they've in 2011, NASA retired its space shuttle fleet. We talked about that a lot. So that meant, how do we get to and from the station? And Russia was ferrying U.S. astronauts and cosmonauts together, and because they could fit it, and that was what the deal was. So we were paying to get those rides. And now, because they're in this situation, NASA is appealing for more funding from Congress to help if resumed manned American space flights continue, because that's what they want to focus on. But Russia was able to be an at least a way to get a ride, and now they're suspending that. So there's another thing that's affected. And here it is. This comes in the same week that the 28-member defense bloc, NATO, said it was ending cooperation with Russia over what they're doing in the Ukraine. So Russia's troop buildup, what we know about that, what happened in Crimea, then deeper into the Ukraine. The focus now is, you know, if Crimea is gone for good from the Ukraine, but now what happens to the rest of the territories in between, and Russia is more than arm's length away from the United States now. There's not much happening between our country and Russia. So is that a good thing? You know, that whole thing about the art of war and keeping your enemies close and your friends even closer. Is that a good thing? Or is it a bad thing for us in the end? Underwater, that's where it's at now for Flight 370. They're searching as to their best guess at this point, and they've got the right kind of equipment to do it, but they're looking for the pings as fast as possible, because if they're going to track any kind of a plane, if there is the plane there in the Indian Ocean, the way that they'll be able to uncover it is through that black box. and they don't have that much time necessarily. 4 weeks, do you believe it, have passed since it vanished into thin air with 239 people on board, and they're still stumped by what's happened here. Information in the flight recorders would help them unravel the mystery of what happened the night the plane dropped off radar. But they use the analysis of radar, satellite, and other data to determine where the search is, and they're off of Perth. But they have not found one piece of debris from the plane. If they found a piece of debris, they'd have a better idea of where the main wreckage would be located, but they haven't been able to find that. They're doing kind of the best guess thing. Friday's area covers a big swath in the ocean, in the Indian Ocean, 83,000 square miles northwest of Western Australia, specifically Perth. There's 14 planes, 9 ships scanning throughout the day. And they warn that this could be a prolonged hunt for that missing 777. You know, we have to go back to March 8th. That's when it disappeared. March 8th. Wow. I mean, time flies. Just shows you. And what are the explanations of why the plane flew way off course and where it ended up with the passengers and the crew members? Families are frustrated. No hard information is frustrating. And different kinds of information is frustrating. And they're waiting and waiting and waiting because in many cases they don't want to go back to where they're from. They want to have the information on whoever it was they were waiting for or were hoping to see on the plane, family members, whatever it is. Malaysian authorities released a transcript of the recording on Tuesday. There was disputes over the audio recording of the radio communications between the pilot, co-pilot, and air traffic control. So they did that. And they're still looking into the pilot. And they're really not getting to the bottom of anything at this point. Maybe they'll get a break over the weekend. But it's highly unlikely. It's highly unlikely the way it's happening too and unfolding that they'll find the plane. There's a great chance they won't find the plane. And some are saying maybe it broke apart in midair. In fact, the National Transportation Safety Board's preliminary report is saying the plane broke apart while it was midair. Oh, boy. This is a mystery that we might never, ever truly know where the plane is. Hook up with us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever you like. All roads lead to AmericaTonight.net, and you can click on it there.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.